Morning indeed, all of you. I'm not going to sing a song, but but we are going to read together a psalm. Isn't that also good, huh? Will you turn to Psalm 136? I hope you can still remember that the topic of our conference is in wrath, or as Lance says, in wrath. I don't know what the difference is, but wrath is worse than wrath. And since I believe it's bad enough, I'll say in wrath, remember mercy. And several times we've touched on the fact that King Jehoshaphat got that strategy from the Lord that he should let the worshippers of Judah march out of the gates of Jerusalem singing his mercies. Give thanks to the Lord. His mercies endureth forever. And you find that in Psalm 136. That's the whole theme. What we're going to do now is we are going to be, this is Sunday morning, so Sunday shalom. All of you. I'm a Christian, you know. Not a Jew. My mother told me to dress nicely every Sunday. So that's in my blood, so we're going to be a church to begin with, at least, this morning, a real church. And I'm the priest now, and you are the assembly. So I'm going to read the first line, and you are going all together to read the theme of the psalm, "For his mercy endures forever." That will be your part. So first I read the beginning, and then you read, as it were, the refrain or the chorus of this psalm. So you have to do it according to the New King James. I don't know, there may be 117 different. And so what you have to say is, "For his mercy endureth forever." Nothing about this endureth. Plain English. "For his mercy endures forever." That would be your... Are you ready?
Amen.
After me, please, now. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
For his mercy endures forever.
Oh, give thanks to the God of gods.
For his mercy endures forever.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords.
For his mercy endures forever.
To him who alone does great wonders. To him who by wisdom made the heavens. To him who laid out the earth about the waters. To him who made great lights. The sun to rule by day. The moon and stars to rule by night. To him who struck Egypt in their firstborn, and brought out Israel from among them, with a strong hand and with outstretched arm, to him who divided the Red Sea in two, and made Israel pass through in the midst of it, but overthrew Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea. To him who led his people through the wilderness. To him who struck down great kings. And slew famous kings. Sihon, king of the Amorites. And Og, king of Bashan. And gave their land as a heritage.
For his mercy endures forever.
a heritage to Israel, his servant,
for his mercy endures forever,
who remembered us in our lowly state,
for his mercy endures forever,
and rescued us from our enemies,
for his mercy endures forever,
who gives food to all flesh. Oh, give thanks to the God of heaven, for his mercy endures forever. Before we pray and then move on into a time of praise and worship, we want to ask you to pray with us for the wife of our dear brother, Jan Willem van der Hoven, from the Christian Embassy. His wife, Wida, Wided, is seriously ill. As a matter of fact, she's dying from cancer. And only an intervention by the mighty hand of God, a real miracle, would be able to raise her up and save her from her sickness. And so from the leadership here, we have sent a greeting to our brother and his wife, but we felt that we should all today commit them into the hands of the Lord and ask for his mercy. His mercy endures forever. Ask that God will visit them in his mercy. And so will you stand with me as we pray? David is to come, share God's word with us. Let's pray and commit ourselves to the Lord, shall we?
Let's turn to Joel chapter 3, the third chapter of Joel. At the end of verse 2 in Joel chapter 3, it says, "They have also divided up my land." And then in verse 9, Joel chapter 3, verse 9, it says, "Proclaim among the nations, prepare for war. Wake up the mighty men, let all the men of war draw near, let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble and come all you nations and gather together all around. Cause your mighty ones to go down there, O Lord." I'd like to call this message, you can call it Prepare for War, which is the New King James, but in the Hebrew, it means sanctify a war, kadsho. The word in the Hebrew for prepare, which I have in the New King James, is from kadosh. It means sanctify a war. I have a dear friend who's an intercessor who lives in England, and she was in my home recently on Mount Carmel. And whenever I see her, I sit with her and say, "What's the Lord saying to you?" She gave me this. She said, "This is what the Lord has been saying to us as we intercede in England for Israel." And it bore witness with what the Lord had been speaking to us up in the north and on Mount Carmel. Now, I want to be, the Lord told Joshua to be courageous, but also to be very careful. So we want to make sure we hit the mark here this morning. One of the best television commercials I ever saw was many years ago, and I still remember it. That's how good it was. It was during the halftime of a Super Bowl football game when I lived in America many years ago. And it was a commercial where, in the commercial, the team called timeout. I think they had one play left in the game. And so the coach started to draw it on the ground, to draw out what the different players were supposed to do. And there were a bunch of big actors playing stupid football players looking at it like going, I don't understand. And so he got an idea. He said to one of his assistants, run into the dressing room and Xerox this. And he wrote it on a piece of paper. So the guy runs into the dressing room. He comes running back out. He has 11 copies of it. He gives one to each player. And the players then went back on the field. The clock was running out. They hiked the ball. Each one of them was looking at what he was supposed to be doing. One was blocking here. One guy was running down, was turning here and say, oh, I go left, I go right. The quarterback was going back, trying to figure out where they were. Then he threw the ball, and miraculously, he caught it, and the plan worked. And isn't that a great commercial for Xerox? But it never left me that we need to know exactly what we're doing in this war. And we had a deep teaching from our brother Tom last night that we need to know when to go up, where to go up, how to go up, who's to go up, and if we're to go up. Some years ago, I went to a place, and the Lord told me, buy a field. And I rented a building. And we almost got killed. Some people came and said, we don't rehabilitate drug addicts, we shoot them. And if we see you around here anymore, we'll shoot you and blow up the building. Well, I missed it by about 150 yards. The very place where I was standing and praying and hearing from the Lord by a field, the Lord has now given us a field there. But we need to be very, very careful in how we go forward, or if we even go forward. And the Lord, I believe today, wants to prepare us for this war that we're in. Whether we like it or not over here, the powers of darkness that control Islam have declared an unholy war against us. We're in it. There's no demilitarized zone. You're in it if you live over here. You're in an end time war for God's redemptive purposes, for the people of Israel, and for the world. It's the front lines. Now he says, proclaim this among the nations. Praise God, you're here from the nations, and we can proclaim this to you. You can take this burden back with you to the nations. He says, sanctify for war, or prepare yourself for war. The word kadosh in Hebrew is the one thing the angels sing in the presence of the Almighty. Kadosh. All they can say is, kadosh, kadosh. He's so holy. He's so awesome. This Aliyah is holy. It is God's heart for the end time, his end time moves. I will bring them back. I will sanctify them. I will pour out my spirit on them. I will give them. He's doing it. And oh, we need to be walking in righteousness and holiness before him before we ever signed up for the army. And if you don't want to pay that price, then you shouldn't be in this army. I'll tell you that this morning. You'll get hurt. Kadosh. Kadosh. You know what it means? Tested by sunlight. You hold up some beaten virgin olive oil and you look, is there any impurities in there? Oh, then that's the anointing. Pour that on the priest. Pour that on Aaron and his son. It's pure. It's virgin. It's untouched. There's no corruption in it. There's no death in it. There's no sin in it. And the Lord is saying to us, sanctify a holy war against the unholy powers, the unclean powers of darkness that we're involved in. It with over here. And the Lord, I believe, will speak some of this to you this morning. Prepare yourself for this war that we're in. Wake up the mighty men. Praise the Lord that we just sang that. The body of Messiah needs to wake up. I believe there is a great delusion over this land, on the government, on the land, on the people, and many of us in the body, that we don't even see what the Lord is doing or what is happening to us at this very moment. Would you pray that we wake up? Wake us up. We need a wake-up call. Wake up the mighty men. Let them all draw near. We need to draw so near to the Lord. Drawing near to being captivated by the beauty of Yeshua as we proclaim him king. Drawing near to him. That's part of the preparation. Let them come up. Hallelujah. Make Aliyah. Let's come up into the holy place. That's what Aliyah means. It doesn't just mean for the Jews to come back to Israel. It does mean that. But it means to come up into the presence of the Holy One of Israel. That's what this Aliyah is all about, to bring the Jews back here, to bring them into a relationship with the Mashiach so that the glory of God can go to the ends of the earth. It's the consummation of the ages that we're involved in. Beat your plowshares. into swords. Plowshares, when you plow the ground, they get a lot of dirt on them. The tools that we work with, the gifts that maybe the Lord has given you. Maybe he's given you gifts. I'm sure he's given many of us gifts, many of you gifts. Have you been using your gifts with a holy anointing? Have you been using your ministry? Are the work that you do, the things that you do in the nations, the things that you do for a living, the things that you do in your ministry, is any of it stuck down there in the dirt? Because we need to get it out of the dirt and turn it into the sword of the Spirit. Later, we will turn our swords into plowshares. This is the time to take our weapons of warfare and make sure there's no earthly matter on them. We need to get up in the heavenlies and see God's point of view for what he's doing. Not trying to figure it out in our own carnality or in the soul realm. Beat your plowshares. I believe the Lord wants us to beat the dirt off of our plowshares. Get it all off. Beat it off. Get it off so that they're clean and we have the sword of the Spirit. Your pruning hooks into spears. God wants to prune us. God wants to prune us. That's what he says in his word. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. The Lord wants to cut off of us anything that stops the flow of the Holy Spirit going through clean vessels. And as we do this, we are preparing ourselves for this war. And I ask you to catch the burden that as the Lord does it to you, you will pray it for the Guf HaMashiach, the body of Christ over here. Would you turn to Matthew chapter 10? Verse 34, as we beat our plowshares into swords, it's the sword of the Spirit. It's the sword of the Word of God. It's our abilities, our natural talents, our gifts. Matthew chapter 10, verse 34. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against his mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or daughter more than me, or mother more than me, is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He who does not take up his cross and follow after me, he is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it. God wants us to have the sword of peace. The sword of peace comes into our hand when we put Yeshua, Jesus Christ, first place in everything. When we die daily to our own agendas, our own plans, our own ideas, our own opinions, our own sins, and we allow him to cleanse us and sanctify us for this holy war that we are called into. Then we will hear his voice. Then he will tell us where to go. He will tell us what to do. He will tell us what not to do. And that's the only way that we are going to continually hear his voice. He wants to bring the sword of peace. He will bring the sword of peace to any fleshly attachment that you have to the world. He will bring it, if you ask him, and cut you off from it. Any sin that is still coming after you, even in your dream life, even in your thought life, if you ask him, he will bring the sword of peace. It will hurt for a moment. He will remove it. Some of you remember the other night when I spoke about loneliness, the Lord's Supper, how the burden of loneliness grasped me after my mother died. Well, guess what? When I fell in love with Yeshua, he healed me. The sword of the Spirit came. It hurt. But it brought the sword of peace. And now I'm healed. I'm healed. I ask the Lord to heal me from that. He can heal you from any wound you have. And you will be in preparation for this holy war that we're involved in. Hallelujah. Now, in this country, we are involved in a war. And there is an onslaught. We are in an onslaught of spiritual forces in dark places. In fact, I'm convinced that there has been a recent unleashing of a flood of dormant demonic powers that haven't even been operating until the last few years. Once the body of Christ, the Holy Spirit began to be poured out on the body of Christ in different parts of the world, and the power of the Holy Spirit came back to the body of Christ. Once that happened, dormant powers, evil powers, started to be unleashed that hadn't even been unleashed before. So we are in this ferocious onslaught. Humanism, ego, pride, We can do it. We don't need God. Rebelling against God, it is all over the world. As I travel in Europe, it's everywhere. It's a darkness that can be felt for those people that feel in the Spirit, that those people that can see. Don't be deluded, brothers and sisters, by the media, by television. I was watching CNN News in Switzerland recently, in a hotel room for several days. Everything on it was New Age. Every image, every program, the analysis of the news. The eruption that happened on the Friday down here in Gaza happened then. They brought a man on twice who said, it's the fault of the Jews that Arabs were killing each other. And then the woman doing the program said, okay, thank you for the truth. Good night. And that's what the world heard. It is a delusion. It is in everything. The movies, the television, it's everywhere. The New Age, humanism, it's a delusion. Materialism, greed, it's all over this land. Oh, it looks good. A building boom is going up. We're going to have hotels on the beach of Haifa for the first time in history. I mean, it looks good. The Baha'is also trying to build two hotels up there. Corruption, New Age. There is pornography all over this land. Videos, video stores. I remember one time some years ago, I told the people of Nazareth in a meeting where I was preaching in Nazareth that they were going to be flooded by pornography. I don't think they believed me. You go downtown Nazareth now, it's all over the stores. Drugs all over Nazareth. Abortion. 1.5 million, Ted told us this morning, of babies that have been aborted here. Brothers and sisters, we are in a war. We are in a deep war with demonic powers. Now, the delusion, the deception. Would you pray for the country and for the body of Christ that we would not be deceived and be deluded about God's purposes and what he is doing? The enemy is trying to stop Aliyah. It was documented by our brother Lance the other day. If you weren't here, get the tape. That's what's going on. That's part of what's going on over here. We need to know this, to know how to pray. This Declaration of Principles, they call it. Do you know what it is? It's an eviction notice from Satan to the Jewish nation. That's what it is. Let me say it again. It is an eviction notice from the powers of darkness that they are going to remove the Jewish people from Israel. That's what it is. We found out last night. You know what the next plan is? Bethlehem. Then Jenin. They're coming up my way. All through Samaria to give it back to the enemy. All through the heartland of Israel. Do you know if Yossi Beilin has his way, the architect of this thing behind Perez and Rabin, if he has his way, when you land at Ben-Gurion in two years from now, or even shorter if he has his way, a Stinger missile could knock your plane out. You wouldn't even be able to land there. They would be so close to the airport. It's suicide. It's a covenant with death. That's what it is. You know, the devil's trying to give an eviction notice to the Jewish people. Do you remember when Hezekiah got an eviction notice from the devil? A letter from the devil? Told him he wasn't. What did he do? He spread it out before the Lord. We need to spread this out before the Lord and say, call on him like Hezekiah. Isaiah came and said, he's heard your prayers. Hallelujah. He's going to remove them. And he did. I have the strongest sense that the purposes of God are being worked out. That the leaders of the PLO, the leaders of our government right now, God has a hook in their jaw and has drawn them together like this. It is the same spiritual experience I had when Saddam Hussein was drawn into collision course with George Bush. And it exploded. Don't be fooled by what you saw on the White House lawn. You know, I used to be involved in television and an actor and all of that stuff. The truth was what was going on behind the scenes, not what you saw. That's what the real, that was all a delusion. Brothers and sisters, get the dirt off your weapons. If there's any dirt on your weapons, get it off them. Beat your plowshares into pure swords of the Spirit and the Word of God. If there's any earthiness left on it, get rid of it. This is the time to get rid of it if you want to be in this army. Ask him to prune you. Ask him to cleanse you. Ask him to purify you. Some of you in these meetings have come to me about bondages you're still in. Ask the Lord to set you free supernaturally so that you can be a pure vessel used if God is calling you to enlist in this army. When Isaiah went into the temple, and they were singing, the angels were singing, Kadosh, 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 and the Lord cleansed his mouth, this great prophet. He heard the Lord saying, who will go for us? Who will go for us? That's what God is saying. Who will pay the price and go for us? Who will go with me? And Isaiah said, I will. I will. That's one of the things the Lord is saying to us. Will you pay the price to come into this army of God that the Lord is raising up to stand against the powers of darkness in this land? Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. That's part of the preparation. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Without me, you can do nothing. If you are not anchored on the rock, if you're not attached to Jesus in such an intimate way, spending time with him, you can't do anything. Abiding in him, living in him living in us, in Messiah. He is in us, hallelujah, if we're born again. But we need to be in him, sanctified, made holy. Yes, we are to pursue peace with every man and the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Have you seen him lately? Oh, get down on your face before him. Listen to him. Hear his voice and let him put you in the place that he has for you in this army. It's preparation for war. It's preparation for war. It's sanctifying a war. Hallelujah. There's no flesh in this army. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the things of this world. If you want to be engaged in this warfare, you cannot be entangled with the things of this world. They need to be cut off by the sword of peace, the sword of the Spirit. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this world so he may please him who enlisted him. Jesus is the captain of the hosts. Hallelujah. He's going before us. But if you want to go with him, if he's enlisting you, no flesh, no entanglements with the things of this world. And that's the preparation for war. Now, let's go to the battle plan. Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9, the ninth chapter of Isaiah. Tom Hess handed this to me this morning. It's from Thursday, January 12th. It says, Yitzhak Rabin earlier this week said that Israel must prepare for war in the middle and long term. Even our prime minister is talking about being prepared for war. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 3. Some of you heard this the other day, but let me read it again. Verse 3, you have multiplied the nation, I believe. This is where we are here in Israel today. The Lord has multiplied the nation. He has brought back a measure of the Olim, the Russians, the Ethiopians, people from the nations, Jewish people being called back, but the Aliyah has basically stopped. You have multiplied the nation and increased its joy. They rejoice before you according to the joy of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil, for you have broken the yoke of his burden. It's a picture of revival. It's about, literally, it's about Galilee. We believe the revival is beginning there, praise God, but it's for all of Eretz Yisrael. He's brought the people back here to revive them. Lord, revive your work in the midst of days. His work, not men's work, not my work, not your work, his work, in line with his purposes. That's why he's brought us here. Now, verse 4, you have broken the yoke of his burden, the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. 300 in the day of Midian with Gideon's army. Hallelujah. They blew the shofars and the enemy was routed. Maybe there's 300 in this room. Maybe the Lord's calling us all to a Gideon's army test. Verse 5, for every warrior's sandal from the noisy battle and garments rolled in blood will be used for burning and fuel. A picture of war. A picture of war. Verse 12. I mentioned the other day when I was in Finland last year, just about this time, and the pullback from Jericho began. This is the scripture the Lord laid on my heart, and I submit it to you to pray about this battle plan that I see here in Isaiah chapter 9. The Syrians before and the Philistines behind, they shall devour Israel with an open mouth. I believe that's what we see happening at this very moment. It's being done from within and from without, and we are being devoured by words, by promises, by false agreements, by declarations of principles that are flawed, that aren't even in the natural, they aren't even good agreements. His anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. For the people do not turn to him, verse 13, who strikes them, nor do they seek the Lord of hosts. Therefore the Lord will cut off head and tail from Israel, palm, branch, and bulrush in one day. It will be sudden. We have been saying sudden, sudden, sudden. When they say peace and safety, then comes sudden destruction. Things are happening so suddenly, they're escalating in speed. The Lord's going to do this. Verse 15, the elder and honorable is the head. The prophet who teaches lies is the tail. These are the ones that the Lord will cut off from Israel. That's what it says here. The Lord will do it. The elder, verse 15, and the honorable is the head. The prophet who teaches lies is the tail. For the leaders of this people cause them to err, and those who are led by them are destroyed. Do you see it? Verse 17, therefore the Lord will have no joy in their young men. Oh, I pray, Lord, don't let this happen. Don't let this happen. Nor have mercy on their fatherless and widows. Fatherless and widows is the result of war. For everyone is a hypocrite and an evildoer. Every mouth speaks folly. For all this, his anger is not turned, but his hand is stretched out. For wickedness burns as the fire. It shall devour the briars and the thorns. Look at verse 19. The wrath of the Lord of hosts, the land is burned up. The visions that people have had about the fires on the mountains of the north. Oh, I pray it doesn't come to that. Verse 21. Manasseh shall devour Ephraim, Ephraim Manasseh. Together they shall be against Judah. Civil war. The worst of all possibilities. Israelis fighting Israelis from the 12 tribes of Israel who have been called back to this land. It's a very real possibility. Those of you that went through Samaria on the buses, those people are not going to leave. They're not going to leave, no matter what this government does. It's already erupted a couple of times in the streets of Tel Aviv and a couple of other places. We need to see God's purposes here and pray carefully and accurately about this whole situation. Now, as I prayed about this, and as I've been seeking the Lord about this, would you look at verse 6? Here is such a vision for us. For unto us a child is born, a son is given, the government will be on his shoulder. His name is called Pele-Yoetz, wonderful counselor. We need his counsel. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. It's like a miracle. We need the counselor, the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, to counsel us as we go forward or if we go forward. He's the wonderful counselor. He's El Gibor, the mighty God. He's greater than all the powers of Islam and every other demonic spirit in this place. That's who he is. He's the Lord of hosts. He knows what he's doing. He wants to counsel us. He wants to give us the battle plan, and he wants us to walk in it. If you are called into this army, and he's going to speak it to us, that's who he is. He does nothing without warning us through his people, the prophets. He will not do it until he has spoken to those that move in the prophetic. He won't do it. Hallelujah. He's the everlasting Father. Aviad. He's the Sar Shalom. We sang of the increase of his government, there will be no end. That's a mistranslation. It is, there is no end now in the Hebrew, of the increase of his government in his kingdom. There's no end to it right now. Governing us how to walk, how to move in the spirit right now. There's no increase up to it. We can ask for more. Lord, increase your government in our lives. Show us where to go, what to do, when to go up, when not to go up. That's what we need to cry out for. Lord, make sure we're hearing from you as we go into this battle. Praise God. Let's go to Isaiah 30. The 30th chapter of Isaiah. Sudden things. Unpredictable. Verse 10.
this rebellious people here in the land, say to the seers, do not see, and to the prophets, don't prophesy to us right things. Speak to us smooth things. Prophesy deceits. Get out of the way. Turn aside from the path. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease before us. Is that what's happening here? When people in high places mock the word of God? Therefore, thus says the Holy One of Israel, because you despise this word and your trust oppression and perversity and rely on them, verse 13, therefore this iniquity shall be to you like a breach ready to fall, a bulge in a high wall whose breaking comes suddenly in an instant. Instantaneous, sudden destruction. Oh, Lord, show us how to pray about this. Verse 18, the Lord will wait. He may be gracious to you, the theme of this conference. Therefore, be exalted that he may have mercy. He will be exalted that he will have mercy on you. The Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are those who wait on him. Verse 19, for the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. They shall weep no more. He will be very gracious to you at the sound of your cry. Oh, supplication. Rending our hearts before him. He will be gracious at the sound of your cry. When he hears it, he will answer. He will hear these cries. He's been hearing them. There was a breakthrough here last night. There have been breakthroughs as we've been going on. He is hearing us. He will hear us as we prepare for this war. There will be mercy. In the midst of judgment and wrath, he will remember mercy. Rachamim is the word in Hebrew. Do you know what it means? It means having a baby. Rechem, a lady having a baby, is the word for grace, one of the words in Hebrew for grace. It means out of the innermost birthings of the heart of God is oceans of rachamim, of grace for those who will call on his name. He will hear.
Praise God. Verse 28. Verse 28, his breath is like an overflowing stream which reaches up to the neck to sift the nations with the sieve of futility. There shall be a bridle in the jaws of the people, causing them to err. I saw this some time ago. I won't go into the names, but the hooks in the jaws of ungodly leaders being pulled together in collision course. That's what's happening in the spirit realm, I believe. But what about us? You have a song in the night. Hallelujah. We have a song in the night. Last night, we had a song in the night. We had a song in the night. My wife loves to sing the Mighty One of Israel. You know, my wife, when we get back to America, which isn't very often, and we go to Times Square Church, they always ask her to sing the Mighty One of Israel. In fact, I've been told they don't let anyone else sing it there except when Karen comes back. The last time I was there, it was like the roof blew off the place. The man who was preaching said, I can't preach. He turned to David Wilkerson, he threw his notes down, he said, I can't preach, the Holy Ghost is here. And the Lord started healing people, touching people, people repenting. God just moved all over the place. Listen, there is power in praise and worship. And last night, I didn't say anything to Barry or Bacha or whoever chose it, but what did they sing? The Mighty One of Israel. Hallelujah. Listen, he's mighty. He is mighty in the midst of us. Yes, he is. And we get a hold of the horns of the altar, he's going to move in power. You shall have a song in the night. The festival is kept, the gladness of heart. One goes with a flute. They come to the mountain of the Lord, to the Mighty One of Israel. The Lord will cause his glorious voice to be heard. He is going to cause his voice to be heard here. He is already. Praise God. What do? Look at our instruments. Oh, I love this. Every place where the staff of punishment passes, which the Lord lays on him, bring tambourines, harps, and in battles of brandishing, he will fight. Bring your tambourines. Bring your harps. Bring your DX7. Bring whatever you got. Bring your voice and worship him in the beauty of holiness and watch him move in the midst. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Isaiah chapter 32, verse 1. Isaiah 32, verse 1. Behold, a king will reign in righteousness, and princes will rule with justice. Oh, God. Bring us a God-fearing government that princes will rule. They will rule with justice. And look at this. I don't know what your translation says, but in the Hebrew it says this. A man will be a hiding place. It's Jesus. A man will be a hiding place from the wind and cover from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place. If Jesus will be your refuge, if you will come to Jesus, if you will leave behind the things of the past, if you will forget all the other things that are trying to drag you back into the world, if you will come to Jesus and reconsecrate yourself to Jesus, a man will be your hiding place. And no matter what comes to Israel, no matter what comes to your land, you will have a refuge where you will be under the shadow of his wings. Hallelujah. A man is our hiding place. His name is Jesus. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the leader of the army. Rivers of water in a dry place. The eyes of those who see will not dim, and the ears of those who hear will listen. Of those who hear will listen. Will we open our eyes and our ear to hear which way he wants to lead us in this war? Oh Lord, revive your work. Take it back to the nations. Pray, revive your work. Not anybody else's work. God's work. God's work is Aliyah. God's work is to bring the Jews back to this land to meet their Messiah. God's work is, it has nothing to do with ambitions or ministries that want to be known or anything like that. Being involved in this Aliyah, that's dangerous. That's dangerous. God's work. These little caves of Adullam, the glory of Israel will come to Adullam, Micah tells us. Little caves, stripped down places, without ornamentation, that are not caught up in minors. They major in the majors. They major in Jesus. They major in the power of the Holy Spirit. They major in repentance and holiness and walking in righteousness before him. That's where the glory is going to come. Not people that are caught up in eschatology or this thing or that movement. They have to be caught up in him. And that's where the revival is going to break all over this land. Will you pray it in with us? It's part of our warfare strategy. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, here are some prayer points that I believe the Lord wants. If God is calling you into this army of intercession. Number one, will you pray for the remnant, the believing remnant? I mean the believing remnant. The remnant. The ones that really want to walk with Jesus who are already here, Jews and Arabs together. Will you pray for them? Because there's delusion on many of us. Confusion. People calling up, well, what does this mean? Or what do you think about that? Who do I call? Who do I talk to? What's going on? Pray that the delusion is removed, the deception is removed on the leadership over here, starting with me and all of the leaders here, that we don't get deceived. Number two, would you pray for the youth in the body of Christ? There is an army of beautiful, beautiful believers coming up. Oh, they are precious. There's a few here, two from a village, one from a town, some there, some in Jerusalem, some in Beersheba, some in... Oh, they are precious. Pray that they get a hold of God's purposes. They get a hold of Jesus. They walk with him in purity. They walk with him in sanctification, in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's a whole new move of God. It's a whole new thing going on over here. There are little caves of Adullam. Oh, I could tell you about a couple. Oh, we've got a handful. I've seen a couple here and there. Oh, some of them are in the Israeli army. Oh, I'm telling you, they are sold out to Jesus. And God wants to use them in mighty ways. And they are under attack. There is a division over here about the power of the Holy Spirit, as there is in your land, as there is everywhere. Would you pray that these kids are just released into the power and the glory of the Holy Spirit? We need seers. We need prophets, not programs. We need prophets. We need young prophets who see in the Spirit, that don't get caught up in this movement or that movement, just in the movement of God. The youth, and Satan is trying to destroy them. What do you think the abortion thing is all about? What do you think the drug epidemic is all about? You know, some of the guys that have come off drugs with us, they have such potential. Beautiful young men that could have been the cream of the crop. And you know where some of them got hooked on drugs? In the army. It's in the army. There's a drug problem in the army. They're concerned about the leadership of the army. The enemy has infiltrated the IDF with drugs. I said to someone, where'd you start doing drugs? He said, in the army. I said, in the army? And Satan's trying to destroy this generation of kids. There's a drug epidemic over here. A conservative estimate is 250,000 out of 5 million people or 6 million people. The doctor that runs a drug clinic on Mount Carmel, beautiful Jewish man, you know what he says? 30,000 in the Haifa area. There's only 300,000 people there. It's 10%. All these young kids. Now, would you pray for the body of Christ, the believers, these kids, that they don't go back to Babylon, they don't go back into sex, drugs, and rock and roll, and all of the other stuff. Would you pray that the Lord will get a hold of them and grip them and keep them, because God will use them in this spiritual battle we're involved in, as well as in the natural battle we're involved in. Would you pray that we get a wake-up call? That we wake up before it's too late. We sang it here. It's amazing how the music, the words in the music are confirm what the Lord's put on your heart. Wake us up. There's a spirit of sleep. It's a spirit of sleep. Everything looks good. Everything, buying, selling. That's what happens with Noah. The people in Noah's time thought, it looks good. It's not good. It's a delusion. Now, Jeremiah 27. I would like you to make a note of this if you feel called to pray, be involved in this war. Jeremiah 27, verse 18. I believe the Lord has spoken to a number of you in this conference who were not intercessors before you came here, but he's calling you to be an intercessor. Let me just say this to you. It will cost you everything. Don't take it lightly. If God's calling you to be an intercessor, obey him. But it will mean death to many of the things you have been doing. It will mean experiencing the sufferings of Yeshua, his pain, his joy, his agony in this birthing process of what the Lord is doing here. Jeremiah chapter 27, verse 18. If they are prophets, and if the word of the Lord is with them, let them now make intercession to the Lord of hosts. Do you want to be a prophet? You need to be an intercessor. If they are prophets, and if the word of the Lord is with them, let them now make intercession for the Lord of hosts, that the vessels which are left in the house of the Lord and the house of the king of Judah and at Jerusalem don't go back to Babylon. Would you pray that the saved remnant of Israel would not backslide and go back to Babylon? The pull on these young Jews when they get saved, the pull to go back, to find a husband who is not a believer, to go back to drugs, to go back to the worldly lifestyle, the pull, the Antichrist spirit over here, and the rejection of the name of Yeshua and Jesus is so, so powerful. And I don't think you understand it if you live in the nations. It's when you come here and you experience it. They come, they see, yes, it is him. I understand. And then the powers of darkness are trying to drag them back into hell. Would you intercede and pray that the Lord will keep them? I pray it on my knees every morning. Lord, don't let one of these eight at House of Victory go back to Babylon. Keep them. And I call up, and now I don't call anymore. I just say, hallelujah. He's keeping them. He's keeping them. Pray. Intercede. The word means to meet. It's pagah, the Hebrew. In Hebrew, it means to meet with God. Intercession, this word here, it says make intercession. It means to put pressure on and to urge someone to act. That's what we need to do, to meet with a person, to meet with someone. It means falling upon your knees and falling. You know what it really means? Falling upon him and not letting him go. Like Jacob when he wrestled with the Lord. Now, praise the Lord. Leaders, the body of Christ, youth, a wake-up call, and to keep the territory the Lord has already captured in the natural and in the spirit. The little congregations that have popped up at different places, that the Lord would keep them and not let the enemy pull them back as he brings in this great harvest, the keeping power of Yeshua. Now, let's conclude here. Father, I just ask you that by the power of your Holy Spirit,